Welcome to Pink Kink,
where we talk about the pretty, twisted side of kink.
I'm Princess Rara.
And I'm Dara, the Electro Khaleesi.
Whether you are a new kinkster or have years of experience, Pink Kink will help you level up your kink knowledge.
Join us on this journey as we talk about our personal experiences and use the knowledge we've gained over 28 years of being involved in both private and professional aspects of this lifestyle to help you explore every facet of kink.
Get set for an adventure. Not only will you learn and grow, but we promise loads of laughter, turning each episode into a fun party. So fasten your seatbelt and let's get this show started. Pink Kink runs off the generosity of our devoted patrons.
As a patron, you will become a member of our special Discord server, receive some adorable Pink Kink stickers, as well as have access to a monthly behind-the-scenes podcast. Patrons also get discounts at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique, and our online classes at Pink Kink Institute.
In addition, our impactful and electrifying Pink Kinksters get special audio and video episodes. And finally, patrons at our highest tier will be recognized as producers, both here on the podcast and on our website.
If you would like to become a patron, you can visit us at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast or click the link at pinkkinkpodcast.com.
Today's episode is produced by our electrifying Pink Kinksters. Thank you, Jay, Witcherman, Brianna Lynn, Daddy Jay, Fabe, Embers, Blossom, William P., Claire, Lady Blooding, Naughty and Nice, Butte Pain, Manda Panda, Cat, Stefan, Shadow Phoenix, Kilted Sir, Brian, May Cry Devil, Ruby Riot, Mistress Velma, Enchanted Sparrow, The Wombat, Impact Hazard, Twitch, The Midnight Girl, Sinful, J21, Daisy If You Do, AK Harley Chick, Violet Rain, Serenity, Belle,
Eric, Sweetie Todd, Lady Affliction, Dr. Dave, Pumpkin Pie, Ms. Tourmaline, S'more, Hacksaw, Wee Mad Beastie, To Be Better For Me, 3 AM Thoughts, Forest, BP Bryn, Crash Override, Kinky Bear, Barbie, Navigator Bard, Frost, Sinful and Naughty, Coffee and Chaos, Noir, Haley's Comet, Mr. Pillsbury, Peaches, Mighty Owl, Lil One, Princess Sassy Pants, Lady and Lex, Chaos Monster, Kristen, Casper, Hazel Page, and Jessica. Yay! I'm
Ouch,
already tired.
That hurt.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay.
Not really.
That's fine.
You liked it.
Right. Listen, I still like pain. I'm still a sadomasochist. I may be in my villain, dominant, sadistic era, but I'm still a sadomasochist.
Right. So I'm fulfilling your masochistic needs by yelling in your ears.
There we go.
Because you fucking made me scream.
I could not have given you any more warnings.
I was not prepared. The warnings that you gave me were not at the level that they should have been for that. Okay.
We can't discuss it because we're not giving any trigger warnings with this episode. So
go listen to last week's episode if you want to hear me absolutely fucking shriek my brains out.
Or don't.
Yeah, no, really you shouldn't because oh my fucking God. Anyway, no, I'm not going to get over that for a while. So thanks.
I'm so sorry.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm trying to fix it. Can I fix it? Let me fix it.
Oh my God.
Okay. Never mind.
Okay.
I'm just going to drink my coffee. Go
okay.
Do it.
Well, this is cool because this is basically just going to be a me talking episode. So let me tell you how this happened. Rara said do this episode because I'm the only one of us that has had experience in this before.
Well, I've had experience in the female side of things.
Well, I've had experience in the topping side of it.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, sure. No problem. I can do this. And then I now have 4 pages of notes. Is it 4?
I wasn't counting. It didn't really matter.
It's a lot. It might even be 6. I'm not entirely sure, but it's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And part of this was because I really wanted to make sure I covered all of this very, very, very well. And because somebody commented that the booty episode really could have used more information, but instead Rara and I went off like a bunch of hyenas. So I felt bad.
I don't think they used the word hyena.
No, that was me. Because when we cackle like that, we do end up sounding slightly hyena-like.
Hyenish. Oh, that's close to highness. Okay. I'm working.
You're royal highness.
I can work with that.
It's highness with a lisp. See?
I just don't know how I can sound like a hyena when I get silent.
Okay, fine. Maybe it's me that's the hyena. Whatever. Whatever. All right. So I want to just jump into this because I have so much information.
I'm going to push through it.
Okay. So today we're talking about chastity.
Yes.
And it's not just that girl's name in high school who was an absolute whore.
I didn't know anybody named Chastity.
I did.
But you went to a Catholic school, so that's probably why they mentioned them.
That was my public high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Her name was Chastity, and she was an absolute whore.
That is an awful name.
It's the same thing when you name a kid Angel, they're going to be anything but.
So was my name Angel in a former life?
Probably.
Okay.
Chastity is the practice of voluntarily abstaining from sexual activity. This is one of those, you know how we say kink is not all about sex? This one kind of is.
Well, or not, the actually not really.
It, in effect.
It's all about not sex.
Not sex. So it's abstaining from sexual activity or restricting access to one's genitals as a part of consensual power exchange relationship. Going to repeat, consensual. All of this is consensual because holy crap if it's not. It can involve physical devices known as chastity devices, which are typically worn around the genitals to prevent not just sexual arousal, but like all masturbation, intercourse, everything. Like you can't, like when I say arousal, like if it's a penis situation, you can't even get hard. It prevents it. So it can vary in intensity. It can change by duration. It's, you know, short-term sessions like for a day or an hour or so to weeks or months at a time.
So edging.
Very much. It's edging to the extreme.
Mm-hmm.
It's extreme edge play. Yes.
I actually had somebody reach out to me through FET asking me to be their key holder.
Right. Which is what the term is. So I'm going to get into that. There's a lot of teasing in denial that can be done with this. Super, super fun. The dominant partner, known as the key holder, or even somebody who's invited to participate, can tease the submissive. And when I'm using the terms dominant and submissive purposefully here.
Well, yeah, this is not something you typically see in a scene.
It's not a normal top-bottom type scene. No, this is power exchange.
Yeah.
So we're going to use dominant and submissive here.
Mm-hmm.
But with the teasing, with the promise of sexual release and the denial of it, you're actually creating a heightened sense of anticipation and arousal within the submissive, but not letting them do anything with it. So that's actually reinforcing their submission. So it's a mental game.
Yeah.
It's got a humiliation aspect to it. All of this stuff is right up my alley.
I've seen that where it's, the dominant is going out of their way to just remind the submissive, like, I bet you wish you could, but you can't, can you? Because I'm the key holder. I'm the one who's in charge of this. I make the decisions.
I own your genitals. I own your orgasm.
Right.
And I actually do a form of this with Daddy J. And this is a 24/7 thing. One of the rules that I made with him was I own your orgasms. It was one of the first things we did. Now, I don't necessarily have that rule for me, but I own his orgasms and he is not allowed to masturbate unless I know about it.
Mm.
So, yeah, still to this day have that as a rule in place, and damn, does that man follow it. It's pretty fun. It can be used as a punishment. It can be actually having the orgasm can be a reward. It just kind of depends on whatever you've negotiated for you. It builds a lot of intimacy playing with this. It requires a lot of trust. It requires intimacy between the partners because it involves such vulnerability with the submissive partner. It's literally relinquishing all the control you might have over your own sexual desires and giving it to another person. So it can be really, really intense. And you have to just be so careful with knowing your boundaries, knowing the desires, and knowing the concerns and the safety aspects of it. It's, you have to heavily negotiate this. But in the end, it will build more trust if you do it correctly, and a lot of mutual respect and strengthening.
I admire people who do this. I mean, probably because I don't let anybody control me. But so
right.
I'm very
villain,
right? Because villain error.
But even just not from the submissive side, I have been asked to be key holder, as I said. I've always said no, because I don't want that level of responsibility. I barely have enough time in the day to do everything I need to do between life and podcast.
Right.
So to take on that level of intimacy and trust is just not something I feel I can adequately do.
And I only do it with Daddy J, so it's not like I have a bunch of people that I'm, you know, key holding.
Yeah. I did my ex-girlfriend, remember, is a pro dom, and she had a necklace with several keys on it.
I don't have the time for that, the commitment levels, the energy to have that many people.
Yeah. Well, this was her full-time job, was dominating. Yes. So.
I mean, and more power to her. I wish I could actually do that. Like, truly, I wish I could. I just don't. I can't. The psychological aspects of it are really interesting. And you know me, I have to do this part.
Yes, you do.
Rara's going to fall asleep, but I have to.
No, you need to know the why. And I accept and understand that.
But it's interesting. And a lot of people feel this
you
way.
And to others, which is why I let you do this. Well, let is not the right word. Which is why I say go for it. How's
okay.
that?
Well, the first part about this, obviously, is control and dominance. That has a huge psychological impact on both partners. It means the exerting control over their submissive is the dominance part. And since chastity involves the deliberate restriction of control of the arousal, the pleasure, the release, everything, for the dominant, it gives you such a high. I'm just going to speak from the experience of this. Such a fucking high to know that you own those orgasms.
Yeah, I mean, it's a power trip, but not in a bad way.
The part that I love.
But not in a bad way.
It actually, like, if you're using an actual piece of, like, equipment for it, just having the piece of equipment on you reminds the submissive continuously, all the fucking time, that they're feeling it. That they belong, that their orgasm, their genitals belong to this other person. And it's just a constant fucking reminder. And it's lovely. I love it. I love everything about this. It's so much fun. So one of the things that I do, and actually, you know what? No, I'm going to save this until after the chastity devices part.
Ooh.
So for the submissive, like I said, it's just the act of wearing it will do it. And then the key holder's constant, like the teasing part, the reminder, you really wish that you could do this. Is this turning you on? Is this turning you on? I bet it is. I bet you can't do anything about it, can you? And the anticipation, that's the final part of this. It can be actually a really big part of chastity play. It heightens the intensity, the denial of the immediate sexual gratification that you can create. It amplifies it. It, like we said before, it is edging to the extreme. And I do this to myself.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Because the more I edge, the longer I wait, the bigger the orgasms are. And I prefer the bigger, more intense orgasms than a bunch of really tiny ones. So this is just how I kind of learned to do it. So like, I am not under chastity. Mine is definitely more of like a self-edging technique, but Daddy J would be under the chastity part of it. And I'll get into kind of how more we do that later, because I don't use a chastity device on him. But basically, so with all of that, the deliberate restriction of sexual activities and desires, it creates the opportunities to expand and explore more in the power dynamic. And if you're into the psychological parts of it, like I am, this is pretty big. I've done it with one person who self-caged, and then I put him in I don't remember exactly what this is called, but it was a situation where he was in a cock cage, and then I took his balls and I put them in a device that pulled them behind his ass while he was bent over. So it was like a double restriction.
Owie.
And then I played with his ass until he was screaming because he couldn't stand the arousal of it. Yeah. She's like, she's speechless. Look at her.
Well, as I said, it's not something I typically do. I'm into causing you pain, but not in your genitals.
Oh, see, I love that. Remember Bop It?
I know. That's one of your favorite things to talk about. Bop It.
I loved playing Bop It. It was so much fun. All right. So let's talk about the types of chastity devices. So the first one, we all kind of recognize this one, is the cock cage.
Mm-hmm.
Chastity cage, penis cage.
a lot of times it's made of metal or plastic that just encases the penis and it prevents sexual stimulation. It prevents erection. I have also seen it where it has a metal rod inside of it that is, so it's sounding and the enclosure.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't put that one on the person because I refused to. I'm not sounding, or at the time was not sounding trained, so I refused to do it. So he did it himself, which is fine.
That's wild.
Well, that's what he was into.
I'm saying sounding yourself.
That he actually brought his own sounding kit and showed me that night like how to do it, and I still wouldn't do it. But so basically the reason for this is simply to restrict access to the genitals. It prevents arousal, prevents masturbation, prevents intercourse, prevents everything, unless you're getting it up the ass, in which case you have a whole different chastity device for that one. It just simply, again, reinforces the power dynamic. All right, so this other one is kind of amusing to me because I have this image from a movie that I'm going to talk about. It's the chastity belt.
Ah.
Do you know what movie I'm talking about?
I don't, unless you name it, then I'll go, oh.
Okay, well, give me, hang on. So this one is, it's like metal underwear.
Remember, I read a lot. There's been more in a lot of the BDSM romance books that I read.
Mm-hmm.
This will come up occasionally. I've never actually seen one.
Okay. Well, so it's historically associated with like female vagina and vaginas in general. So instead of the penis, you have, this is the vagina version, but it can be used for any gender.
Yeah.
It does not necessarily have to be only for vagina people.
Vagina people.
I
just got some vagina people.
Vagina people. So it's, again, its whole entire purpose is to restrict access. Now, if it's a vagina person, here's the thing. It does not prevent arousal. It can't.
Well, yeah.
It's just, it's a different plumbing, so it can't prevent that, but it does prevent release. You know? Okay.
Well, usually I thought the purpose of them when they were originally created was more to plug up the holes so that nobody could fuck them.
It just kind of covers it. You can have ones that plug the holes, but then that's not exactly chastity because that's a walking masturbation piece.
Oh, see, to me, that I guess that's, I've always viewed it as the chastity being you can fuck. And I don't think of the fact that there's a dildo inside. That's not attached to a human. That's not attached to a human.
Yeah, but you could bounce up and down on it. So what would be the point?
Yeah, well.
And of course, you can't plug the ass because you'll have to poop.
You can. You just take it out, poop, and then put it back in. What do you think a butt plug is for?
Okay, but if it's attached to the metal device, which is like metal underwear, you have to take off the whole entire underwear to do it. And these.
Well, you should be taking off your whole entire underwear if you're going to go poop.
God damn it.
Please, dear God, take your underwear off if you're going to poop.
Have you ever seen Robin Hood Men in Tights?
Many, many years ago.
Okay, so like 90s movie, obviously. The Maid Marian gets kidnapped by, I want to say Lord Farquaad, but that's a different movie entirely, by the sheriff. And he gets her into the bedroom. They're like, yeah, man and wife, whatever. Gets her into the bedroom. So he gets to the bedroom, rips off her clothes, and he goes, a chastity belt? Robin Hood had the key, obviously.
Obviously.
It was passed down.
I guess in my head, fucking is like a very intentional thing versus you're putting on underwear that has stuff to plug you up.
I'd bounce on it. So I'd probably fuck the chastity belt.
Well, that's one of the things that like in the BDSM books, like that's the whole point is that's in you. It's going to arouse the ever-living daylights out of you, but you're not allowed to have an orgasm.
No, that I can totally see. But like, this is what I was saying. It is not necessarily going to prevent arousal in a vagina.
No. Well, and from what I understand of the cock cages, they don't prevent arousal either.
They prevent erection.
It's just going to hurt like fucking hell.
Right. You can also do chastity piercings.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. What do you think of Prince Albert actually is?
All I know is I still have it on my bucket list to fuck a penis that is pierced.
Okay. There's labia piercings that can then be attached. So like you can do two rings in your labia and then you can lock them together.
Yep. Read about those.
Of course you did.
I read some weird shit. Yes.
Yes, I know. I don't know. I'm so weird. I would rather do them and experience them and play with them than read about them.
Well, from what I understand, at least, again, these are fictional books where the slave.
Yes.
It's done to the slave with consent. Is that, again, at least for the female body, female parts, it doesn't prevent the arousal.
Right.
And if anything, the piercings and other stuff which get rubbed
against
the lips
makes
will
it so much worse.
Totally make you aroused. But again, similar to what you did to DJ, orgasms are not permitted without permission. And they're very rarely given permission.
Okay, so last one on this part is DIY or makeshift devices.
Goodness gracious.
All know how I fucking feel about those.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. When we say DIY, we're talking about the stuff that's non-metal. So like zip ties or tape.
Okay.
Or locks that you get at Home Depot.
Ow. Well, look, I am waxed, so I'm not worried so much about tape down there. But if you're not waxed,
yeah,
you put
tape
down
there. That'd
be awful. Owie, owie, oxen free.
Well, so a lot of people use them as like temporary or experimental, you know, ways to do this so that they don't go out and buy like these super expensive ones that you can buy on the web pages and whatnot.
I've seen people's labia stapled shut.
Yeah, I saw that too. I saw that too.
And
yeah.
Being the fact that they're medical grade staples, they can be left in for quite a while.
Yep. And she did.
Yep.
Yeah, no.
Okay.
So this is what I do. It's chastity without devices.
Aha.
I've done devices, like I said, but with Daddy J, we do it without devices. And this is where you say, I own your orgasms. I told him, I own your cock. And we actually have like all these protocols that we do every single time he orgasms. Like we have never, ever deviated from this. This is how intense this is. Basically, the verbal control part is you establish the rules, the guidelines, the protocols, the whatever. You set your boundaries, you discuss your expectations, and you have certain commands or cues to enforce the chastity. So for me, it's I own your dick. I own your orgasm. That is how I reinforce this. They belong to me. Unless I tell you that you can have release, you may not. This is why he calls me the little mistress.
Mm-hmm.
It's for this amount of time, or it could be until I say so. He could say, this is what we do. I'm about to come. Can I come? No. And he has to hold back. Can I come? No. Or I say, yeah, go ahead. And then he does. But here's the rule that we have. When he orgasms, he has to kiss me. Because I don't swallow, because it doesn't even come into my mouth. He has to kiss me. So my mouth covers his. He literally, when he orgasms, if he does it hard enough and I get him to scream, he screams into my mouth. That's what I like to eat. Him screaming. Robert's looking at me like, what the fuck?
No, that's not it. It's not my kink.
And then when I'm done with his mouth and his orgasm, I say, who owns you? And he says, mistress. Mistress owns me. What does mistress own? Mistress owns my cock. Mistress owns my balls. Mistress owns my orgasm. Any of that. That's what he has to tell me. And I just love it. I eat it up. It's delicious.
Yeah. I mean, I've done definitely the verbal control when I was a submissive. And, you know, I talked about one of the things that I used to do specifically with Voldemort starting about 10 days to 2 weeks before a visit with him is I was not permitted to orgasm.
Right.
I had to save the orgasm for when we were together. I've done a little bit of the I can't orgasm during sex until given permission. Problem is that's really hard for me to hold back. Again, I'm multi-orgasmic, so it's, you know, that's the kind of thing you do with somebody who can, well, at least in my mind, you do with somebody who can, let's say, only orgasm once or twice and you hold them off and it gets bigger. I could have literally 20 plus orgasms and it's not that any one is bigger than the other. The type of orgasms are bigger than the other. Like if it's just vaginal, it's not as big as when it's clitoral and vaginal together.
But. No, I mostly just have the clitoral part and they are pretty extreme because like I said, I edge myself to the point where like they're gonna be. So I think five is probably where I start passing out because it's just I blank.
And I'm like, if I haven't gotten a minimum of five, then my partner is apparently not doing it right for me.
I can't breathe. If I have five, I've stopped breathing.
Well, again, I'm talking about vaginal. Like if I had right. five, I can't necessarily do five clitoral and vaginal combined orgasms because those are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
But I can easily, I mean, vaginal orgasms, I can do that all fucking goddamn day.
Okay, so the other things that you can do besides, you know, the edging to the extreme, the, you know, all of that stuff is you can add some role playing to this, which again, I like it. So you can like make up all these really fun scenarios where you have chastity. So basically read Rara's books, figure out which ones you want to play and go ahead and do them. I actually just picked up a book that you you probably have already read because it's you. But it's the Marketplace series.
I have not read, but I'm very well aware of them.
Okay.
And they have always come highly recommended.
So I just bought the first one.
Okay.
So I'm going to probably do that.
I've heard great things about them.
Yeah. Well,
I've heard for a lot of people, that's their gateway.
I've read one that was similar to it, like just on Literotica one time. So I feel like I probably mm-hmm. would enjoy this one. So like I just said, you can read erotic literature. You can read erotic fantasy. Fuck it. Read Rara's book. She's probably got a whole list of them that she could give you. You mm-hmm. could.
Yeah. Do you want romance? Do you want just erotica? If you want, if you're into non-con, dub-con erotica, JJ Argus has some good shit.
Just listen to Trigger Warning Romance and I'm sure you'll get like a shit ton of recommendations. It'll be great. Anyway, you could try and act these things out. Some of them probably not. But, you know.
Well, role-playing, go for
it. But if you're role-playing, sure. But I'm sure there's some of them where you can't actually physically do. But yeah, there's a lot of that. You can just explore. You can indulge in your fantasies, whatever you want to do. Like, within negotiated terms, go do what you want to do. It's great. All right, so now we need to get into the safety risk-aware part.
Yeah, because this is where I have myself a lot of questions, and I know other people have asked about it. So
right.
You know, because, I mean, you're basically locked, especially if you're talking about the penis. You're really locking up something that kind of has a mind of its own.
Yes.
So I'm curious how that all works with the, you know, I mean, they come in different sizes and shapes. How safe is it to wear for how long? What about if you have to pee when it's on? Like, these are things I want to know.
All right. I got you.
Thank you.
Okay. So the first one in my research is proper fit.
Ah, ding, 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 ding.
There we go. So that's one answer to your question. It's obviously crucial to ensure that your device fits.
I mean, it's not like you can go to a store and try them on,
no,
can you?
No, you can't really. So you kind of have to figure it out. So like I'm not exactly, so I've never actually bought one for a penis before. I've never bought one in general, but I assume there's like different sizes.
Yes, that much
I do
know. You
have to measure yourself kind of a situation. Okay, so that makes sense to me.
And unlike the condoms, which can stretch.
This cannot necessarily stretch. You need it to fit comfortably and securely, but you don't want it to cause pain, pinching, constriction. Ill-fitting devices can lead to discomfort, chafing, circulation issues. So that's a problem. Don't do that. The next one on the list is hygiene.
Okay.
How do you bathe with these things on?
Well, right. How do you keep it clean?
It is essential to keep it clean, first of all, because if you're bathing with this on, especially the plastic ones, it can actually, so if you ever like washed your hands with a ring on and then there's a little bit of trapped water trapped underneath.
Well, I get it also with my fingernails.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of the same process, only across the entire thing.
Right.
You do not want any fluid buildup underneath something that is metal, plastic, what have you.
Right.
Because I actually have this problem under my ring finger currently. So I've learned take your fucking ring off when you wash your hands or you have itchies.
Yeah, I stopped sleeping with a... Even when I was married, I took my rings off at night. I did not sleep in them.
Oh, I do that too. I don't sleep in my ring. I don't shower with it. I don't, you know, nothing. But you don't want anything because it can cause major, major irritation. It can even lead to an infection if you rub it too much.
I know that from my boobs. If I get too sweaty, moisture under the boobs.
Yeah, the small titty people, they do not understand that once May hits, it's no longer summer. We have renamed it.
Yes.
It is humidity.
Yeah. And I put deodorant underneath my boobs.
I've done that. Yep. 100%. You got to lift and separate in the summer is so important with the bras.
Right. How do you even pee with these on?
Some of them have holes. If we're talking about a cock cage,
yeah.
Some of them have holes that are specifically, if you don't have the kind that has the sounding piece in it, for that you have to take it off.
Okay.
But if they have a hole in it at the front, you can just pee.
This is a question I don't know that you can answer this, not having the body parts. How do you aim then?
I have no fucking idea. I didn't ask my person who was wearing it that one time. I should have. But that's a really good question.
As being the mother of two boys, this is important to me because I have cleaned up many a spillage.
Could you perhaps maybe just sit?
Yes, of course you can.
I would assume just push sitting down. And aiming okay. that way into the toilet bowl would be probably.
Things that make you go, These are all my questions about this. So,
I mean, yeah. They're good questions, but I unfortunately have no experience whatsoever with that. So yes, you can get UTIs.
Well, that's the other question is how long can you safely wear?
Kind of depends on the person. Because I've known people that have worn it for months.
What do? They take it off at night or are they?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Because then my next question is, what do you do with your morning woody?
Exactly. So they don't necessarily take it off at night because then they wouldn't be able to put it on with the morning wood. So yes, typically these are almost entirely done with cock cages.
People who own penises, it's very impressive. It's very complicated.
It is. I don't think I'd like to. Well, I mean, ours are complicated too. And penis people think that vaginas are complicated.
Look,
and
my
weird,
only
so.
Time I ever have penis envy is the ability to pee outside and not have to sit down on something.
Yeah, no,
that's literally the only thing I'm envious about.
You can get a piece of equipment that'll help you with that.
I have one.
Oh, yeah?
I have one, yeah.
Okay, the cup and tube contraption?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's in my car, just in case I'm ever anywhere.
That's not a bad idea. I might actually get one, now that come to think of it. That should be part of your emergency kit.
Yeah.
You got the flares? Yep. Do you have your semi-penis cup thing?
But we still need something to wipe with.
Tissues?
Penises don't need to necessarily be wiped. Just shake it off.
Oh my God. Do you know there was a song way back in the day when I was in high school, Good Charlotte's Anthem, and I was obsessed with this song, and there was a line in there that said, shake it once, that's fine. Shake it twice, that's okay. Shake it three times, you're playing with yourself again. And like, I don't know that I truly understood until like, I don't know, most of the way through high school what the fuck that line was about.
I can understand that.
Oh my God, because apparently that's a thing. You can only shake it twice. After that, you're masturbating.
There we go.
I did not know that that was like an unwritten
penis information.
Rule. We already talked about skin irritation. And here's the big one. You do need to monitor circulation.
All right, hold on. I need to go back to the UTI question.
Yes.
Why would prolonged wearing of it increase the risk of UTIs?
Because the same thing as the washing, if you have a buildup of anything and it gets inside of it, it's bacteria buildup and okay. anything like that, it can actually cause infections because you know how bacteria happens.
Yeah.
Warm, wet environments.
Yep.
It's not just vaginas that can get it.
Got it. All right.
Yeah, cool. Good questions.
I'm very curious about this. I have zero experience. I've never seen one. Well, that's not true. I've seen one in a cage. But just somebody like passing by in the dungeon. I've never actually sat down and talked to somebody who wears them to understand it.
I've zapped people with them, but that's my only experience.
Can you do that if it's a metal cage? Can you zap it?
Yeah, we did that. Remember we had, I can't remember her name for the life of me right now, but you'll probably know who I'm talking about. Bright red hair. The one that did the submissive men and dominant women munch in D.C. Arlington for a while.
Oh, Mind Your Dom.
Yeah, her. Remember how she came over one party of yours and brought her partner?
Her one and only party because right. She was drunk off her ass, so she was never allowed back again. Yes.
Yes, that one. We did a scene where she climbed up on the thing. Her partner was getting zapped. I was zapping his cage. But it's an interesting situation because it has a lot of surface area. So it was spreading it out a little bit. But then she climbed up on him and made him lick her while he was getting zapped, so it was sort of transferring via his tongue into her cooch.
Ooh.
So that was
that's fascinating.
Actually, one of the coolest scenes I've done, and I do want to repeat that, but in a more controlled way.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have a little more control than what I did because she was off. Anyway.
I'm curious about how much electricity she felt.
I don't think it was that much because, once again, it wasn't going through surface area wise. But if I had him live at the time, because I didn't have that cable. I remember I was just starting out with Electro at the time. So if I had the contact cable and I was zapping his dick with my fingers in the cock cage while he was tonguing her, it would have been a lot better, which is why I kind of want to do this again.
I mean, I'm curious.
Any volunteers?
Or maybe I just want to get head. I mean, not sure which it is, but yeah.
Any volunteers? We could totally do this. Somebody put on a cock cage and come on down if you got a good tongue, because Rara needs it.
Bring your cock cage and your tongue.
That's all you need. That's all the requirement. Maybe we should find Baby Fireman.
Yeah.
He was pretty good at that.
Somebody asked me about him the other day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, I had mentioned it's been a little while since I've gotten head. And they said, where's Baby Fireman? I said, I haven't seen or heard from him in years.
No idea how to even remotely get a hold of him. Another day. We already talked about skin irritation. Okay, so I wanted to talk about circulation. You really do need to check the area for signs of reduced circulation because of this, because sometimes they can be overly tight. And if you do happen to become engorged and then go back down and then become engorged and go back, it's, you know, it can be a little bit. If you restrict the blood flow too much, you have run into a problem. So you need to look for things like discoloration, numbness, if it's cold, you don't want that. Those are bad.
There should be blood flow happening.
Yeah, we don't want that because then you can have tissue damage or even necrosis. And I'm pretty sure penis people will just hear that and go, have a turtle situation.
So that makes sense from actually wearing the cages. Is there any physical issues from the non-orgasm?
Okay, so that... I'm going to preface this again. I don't have a penis. Now, growing up, we've all heard you have to orgasm or it gets stuck. Things get backed up. This is how penis people pressure vagina people into having sex, right? We've all heard these stories. It's not actually true.
Well, I mean, I have read that at least for penises, not so much vaginas, but for penises, that to not orgasm at all for a very lengthy time. And we're not talking like
a few days
or even a few weeks, but that it's important from a physical standpoint to have that orgasm.
So from what I have read and heard, that is the myth part. You just got to get used to it and not be such a dick about it.
Ah. Penis humor. I love penis humor.
I would love to hear the actual medical side of this,
but
from what I could read, that's a myth.
Okay.
So you got to get used to it is part of it. I mean, I hate to bring this up, but supposedly priests do it. Not sure how accurate that actually is, but it's supposed to be. So take that with a grain of salt. If you have an actual... anybody a urologist who wants to like let us know? But aside from the physicalness, are you actually looking it up now?
I'm Googling it.
Yes, I knew you were.
I'm seeing different things. Like I see one that says they should not exceed 10 days. But here's what's interesting. So there's a 2018 study that suggests that ejaculatory abstinence periods of more than 4 days has a detrimental effect on sperm. But you might not care about your sperm production.
Right.
Then this one also says sperm that isn't ejaculated simply get reabsorbed into your body or ejected out of your body during a nocturnal emission.
Okay.
This one says practicing semen retention is thought to boost testosterone levels, but it's really hard to say whether there may be any real benefits.
I mean, people who do this probably don't give a shit.
Yeah. All right. Should you be concerned if you haven't come in a while? The short answer is no.
There you go.
So, apparently there's also not really a straightforward answer to this. It all depends on your particular hormones and overall health.
I would still like to ask a urologist. I think that'd be cool if we have a urologist who listens.
Well, I have a urologist because of my kidney stones and I will be making an appointment with them. So
ask them.
I'm sure I could... Ask.
Just say, I'm asking for a partner.
I'm asking out of curiosity.
is this a bad thing? Don't mention the kink part because they probably freak out.
Well, yeah.
I'm asking for kinky questions.
Right.
Maybe we could message the surgeon.
Oh, yeah. That I did see the surgeon at Winter Fire.
I didn't. I was actually looking for him.
At the bar. I saw the surgeon and their partner.
I did not notice that. Oh, they're married now. I saw.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
They got married last year, actually.
Oh, congratulations.
So actually, I might just message them and find out. Okay, so here we go. Psychological effects, because it's me. It can actually have an effect on the wearer, and it can have an effect on the key holder. So the wearer obviously is going to be frustrated. Their anxiety level might go up. They could be in some emotional distress.
Ooh, breaking news, breaking news.
Okay.
This was actually updated February 13th, 2024. So this is very,
very
current.
Recent.
Not releasing sperm is usually harmless.
Cool.
Okay. Cool. Sorry.
So, hey, continue. Penis people, now we know.
No more blue ball shit. Oh, what? God. I remember growing up with the whole blue ball shit.
Oh, my God. You got me aroused. Now you have to get rid of my blue balls. Yeah, no. Fuck yourself. Thanks.
That's what I would tell them. I said, you can take care of that.
Thanks. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Mm-hmm.
So now we know. All right. So it's basically, if you feel like you're having some psychological issues of frustration, anxiety, or any kind of distress whatsoever, you need to communicate that, and you need to communicate it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your partner. Tell somebody. Who the fuck cares? Just tell somebody and, you know, reevaluate, renegotiate, do what you got to do. Okay, so here's the other thing. Removal of the device. You need to have a way of doing this that you have discussed. You need to make it a safe and easy removal in case of emergency. If there's shit going down, you don't want to be searching through 7 keys to figure out which one is which. If you are doing this with a long distance partner, you need a copy of the fucking key.
Yeah.
Yourself, to be able to take it off yourself. This is extremely, extremely important.
And have the key on you. Just don't have a key that sits in a drawer.
Because don't have it in your jewelry box and you're out somewhere.
Do you know what happens if you end up in the, and I've watched Sex has Sent Me to the ER, so I know this.
Mm-hmm.
You end up in the ER and you don't have a key. Do you know how they get that shit off? They have to call in the fire department with the special saw to take it off. And do you really want a saw near your penis? I don't think you do.
No, you'd have to be like under anesthesia to get that bitch
off. I don't think you do.
No. So please, please, please have a key handy. As the wearer, not the key holder, as the wearer,
the person wearing it.
Yeah. Have the fucking key.
Yeah.
I cannot stress this enough.
Because that actually was an episode of Sex Sent Me to the ER that I did see.
I believe it.
they lost the key.
Oh, motherfucker, no. Oh, no. Have several copies of that key, guys. I mean, like, wear it around your neck if you have to. Put it in your wallet like a condom that you haven't used since 7th grade. Don't lose it. Okay.
If you learn nothing else from this fucking episode, take that lesson.
You know that what that's from?
No.
There was a joke about this guy who finally lost his virginity, and he says, I've had this condom in my wallet since 7th grade. I bet you it was from 40-year-old virgin or something like that.
Probably.
And it was like a piece of trash at that point.
Yeah. You're banging into stuff, making all sorts of noise. It's you this time.
Okay. Well, I'm tired.
I know.
So I'm leaning.
You're
a
trying
lot.
To go to sleep.
I am. Again, what do we always say? Starts with a C.
Consent? Communicate?
Communicate.
Okay.
Communicate, communicate, communicate.
With a side of communication.
With a whole lot of consent. Salad.
Ah.
Yes. Yeah, you guys really, really need to talk about all of this before engaging in chastity. Don't just like pop into your partner's house and be like, hey, cock cage. No, please no. You need to discuss the boundaries of this. You need to discuss what each partner wants and how they want it, because they may not entirely align. You need to talk about concerns. You need to explain. And this is Rara's favorite, because here, when I was reading this article, it said you need explicit, enthusiastic consent, and I changed
Everybody's
it.
Everybody's on enthusiastic. I just made a TikTok about my lack of enthusiasm, and then I got a very good question. It said, well, what is sincere consent versus enthusiastic consent? And it's like 3 a.m, and I'm acting. It was not easy.
I mean, you did a pretty good job. But if you notice, they changed it.
Thank
it does
you
not
so much.
Say enthusiastic.
I can't imagine. It says imagine a person whose penis is about to be locked up and put away and not available for use is going to be like, yay, let's do this.
Well, they might.
Then I'd have to wonder about them.
Well, I mean, they might. My person who's doing it to himself is demisexual and was just like doing it to himself.
Well, I don't use it anyway, so, you know.
But yeah, that's what he was basically like. Why not? I can do this. And so explicit informed consent is what we're going with here on everything. Everything. All the problems, all the everythings. Okay, guys, please. Also, please, God, regular check-ins for this situation. Not, hey, it's been a month. How's your cock cage? How's your chastity device? How's that new piercing lockup I made you get? I forgot about it. So how's it go? Oh, it got infected. Thank you for asking.
Ouch.
You know, don't do that. That's bad. Okay. Also, here's the thing. Our podcast, it's a podcast.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
It's not a class.
That was a movie.
Oh. Yeah, because there's video going on in this place right now. Sorry, guys. It's only video for me and Rara. We like to watch ourselves. No, I can't even imagine. Can you imagine going back and watching like us do our old podcasts?
It's like looking at old pictures. Oh, look, my hair was like that. Oh, I put on weight there. Oh, look, I lost the weight there.
Take a class, perhaps. Please. Do please. It. Educate yourself. And please, for the love of God, vet your educators.
That is holy. Vet your key holders, for crying out loud.
Oh, my God,
before
yes.
you hand over the keys to your cock, vet them.
Or your vajayjay. Yeah, like, I'm not letting just anybody near that. Thank you. And let me tell you, okay, here's the thing. I love Rara with all my heart. She is my sister. You know, we've proved this over and over again. I am annoying as fuck, and she is a bossy,
God, yes.
overbearing bitch.
Uh-huh.
I will never in a million fucking years let her key hold me if I ever decide to do something like this.
I don't want the key to your pussy. Thank you. You can keep it.
Thanks. There will be no key to my pussy. I'm just using this as a thing.
Oh, as an example. Gotcha.
A very non-happening example.
Nobody's having the key to mine because honestly, I need my melatonin and my orgasms.
That is your melatonin, your orgasms.
It's both. I do both. I really...
So yeah, you definitely need to, like, honestly, first thing you need to do is understand the anatomy of the genitals, especially if you're going to be, you know, shoving something somewhere down in, up, whatever it is. Please know the anatomy of it before you do things.
Down, up, sideways.
Upside down, in a pickle. I don't know.
A pickle?
Yeah, a goochcumber. Remember?
Yeah.
It's just it's a raw pickle.
So instead of raw dogging it, you're raw pickling it?
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
So wait a minute. Is a pickle a Pokemon evolution of a cucumber? The shit that comes out of my brain.
Do you come up with this
I don't
shit?
Know. Point being, where am I? Okay, so really simple, guys. Negotiation. Communication. I can't stress this any more than I already have. Please discuss all of this. Discuss your safety concerns. Discuss if you're going to be able to get it off quickly enough. If you're wearing a chastity belt, you know, a lot of times you can like unbuckle it, but then they also have the ones with the locks. And if you got one from Home Depot, you know, you can always have...
Wait, but you can get a chastity belt at Home Depot?
No.
Oh.
You can get the locking mechanism
from
Home Depot.
That's what confused me. I got a little worried here.
Can you imagine? I'm sorry. Hi, Home Depot. What aisle
we do
are you?
We call it Dom Depot.
We do, but what aisle are your chastity belts on, please? No, well, aisle yeah, seven.
And you have to also things you need to talk about. Like, do you take it off for sleeping or do you keep it on? What happens if you have
shower.
A doctor's appointment?
Yeah.
Okay. What if you go to your regular person who goes to the gym? I mean, I've heard there are people like that who go to the gym regularly.
What if you're the person who likes to lift weights with your cock cage?
Well, I don't know how big their penis is. But, you know, like, I mean, you got to think about that. Are you going to, because normally in the locker room at the gym, everybody gets naked. Nobody cares. But you don't necessarily want everybody in the gym to be seeing your cock cage.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
If you do go to the gym and you're wearing a cock cage and you don't want to take it off, you're fully dedicated, is showing your cock cage to the gym people a form of...
Kinking in public?
Yes.
Yes. Because not everybody who even sees it is going to know what it is.
So that's interesting. Okay. Basically, this is it. Just in general, the rules are do not play with somebody who you don't trust, because this could go sideways. Obviously, this is not something that you do pickup play with.
I would hope not.
Wouldn't that be the weirdest fucking thing? Like, how would you even bring that up?
No, thank you.
Here, please wear this zip tie for the evening while we're at the dungeon.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would even work.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know how that would work. I mean, would a cock ring work? Because what cock rings are for is to
there's different
enhance
kinds.
Arousal, not necessarily to...
No, see, I the cock rings that I know of are also meant to help postpone the penis orgasm.
But it makes it... Okay, so I wonder if that actually counts, because I didn't see that anywhere in any of this research that I was talking about for devices. So would I personally think that would kind of count, because it prolongs the experience. It prolongs the arousal without necessarily granting release.
Right.
And some of them go around the balls and the cock.
Some of them have little extra adjustments that make if you're fucking a pussy, make that.
Oh, yes. And some of them have nubs.
Yeah, the nubs. I fucked somebody wearing a cock ring with the nubs.
Daddy J has one that you can put a little bullet vibe in a little little piece up above at the top, and you're just like, yeah, I do like that.
That's
one.
A good one.
I love that one.
That's when you get those big orgasms. At least for me, because I get the two together
At the same time. Ones are the new. Yeah. It is, that one's something else. So personally, I think that those would actually count.
Yeah. See, for me, all of this is very interesting, because I totally see from the dominant side the appeal to it all, right? You own them, you control them. And I laugh because as much as I know theoretically from the submissive side, it's the same feeling that any submissive would have of being owned and... the pleasure they get from that.
It's euphoric.
But to me, there's a difference between you own my orgasm, so I can't have one without you, without your permission, versus I'm now going to take my dick and put it inside a very uncomfortable thing where I cannot always control whether or not I get hard. So sometimes my poor penis is going to get hard and get trapped inside this very uncomfortable cage thing.
And to me, it's just your level of intensity. Because remember, everything is a spectrum. And it's, you know, how you want to play is how you play. And you just figure it out. So some people will think that the way Daddy J and I do it is just extreme edging. But it's a form of mental chastity.
Yeah.
He doesn't get to come unless I say he can. I own his orgasms. And sometimes, guys, I'll make it go for a while. I mean, but at the same time, it's the same way with him that it is for me. The buildup of it makes it more intense. Oh. And I love it when he screams.
That I understand. The mental part of it, I understand. I just remember I'm the person who doesn't want to hurt the penis.
Yeah.
I want to make nice to the penis so the penis is nice to me.
I do enjoy hurting the penis.
Right? That's one of the differences, which is why it's very interesting that, as I mentioned in the previous episode, is... somebody has talked to me about doing needles on genitals, but I don't, to me, that's like, you have to go to a doctor's appointment, depending upon what's going on down there. You might have to have needles down there anyway.
Yeah.
I view it as a different kind of a pain. I don't do impact on genitals because I don't like to hurt the penis.
Oh my God. And I'm the one that just zaps the crap out of the genitals.
You bop it.
So like, you know, what's really weird? Like why do we always say I'm the nice one when I'm the one that's going to fuck up your genitals and you won't and you're nice? I think we're nice to different pieces.
Well, I'll fuck up the rest of you.
Right.
But you see, it's really a purely selfish thing. I want that genital. I want that cock, and I want that cock to be nice to me and treat me right and fill me up and give me orgasms. So.
Okay. But see, the penises that I torture are not mine. They don't belong to me. Daddy J's belongs to me.
Yeah.
So I don't give a fuck.
I really haven't done a lot of playing with penises that haven't belonged to you. Yeah. I mean, they belong to me.
Yeah, no, I play with a lot of penises that don't belong to me. They belong to somebody else, and that's their problem. I don't care.
I'm poly. I want all the penises.
I don't have time to be poly. I don't have the energy to be poly. I just cannot.
Yeah, it just takes a village to keep me happy.
I can't do yeah, right.
But yeah, it just, I guess for me, is really where it comes from. Is I find this utterly fascinating because it's not something I do or necessarily have an interest in doing. Though I would admit, if I had a male submissive, I would do similar to what you do with Daddy J, where it's I own your orgasms and you don't get to orgasm
right
without permission. But the sadist inside me wants to do that without the cock cage because I think that'd be harder.
It is. And see, that's the part that
I made penis joke.
That's the part that I actually get off to because I am so in control of this man's orgasms that I don't need a chastity device to do it.
Yeah.
That's the part that I like about it. That's the part that I've always liked about it. Here's the thing. I'm just going to end probably with this. I really, really do want to do a repeat of the cock cage situation where I'm zapping that person and then see if it translates into whoever's sitting on his face.
Could you do it where you're sitting on the face?
No, because then I wouldn't be able to concentrate on zapping him.
Oh, yeah. You can't multitask?
No. Not when it comes to that. Well, absolutely,
Could you bring in a stunt double to do the zapping?
Vixen could probably do it.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. For that kind of situation, though, that me being eaten out, that's sex. And I don't think I would be involving other people in that.
And Daddy won't. Even and Daddy Vixen. J wouldn't let you
Daddy
zap
J won't
his
be
penis.
In a cock cage. You won't be in a penis. You won't be any part with some. No, he's not going to be involved in that.
All right.
So
well,
I probably couldn't be the face sitter person.
I'll face it.
We just need to find our cock
need to
cage
find
person.
Our tongue.
Tongue and penis with a cock
oh,
cage.
Oh, yeah, the penis. Yeah.
Yeah, that's involved.
Okay, fine. Fine.
All right. Unless you want a female with a chastity belt.
Listen, I'm a pillow princess, so I don't necessarily care.
Okay, pop a squat.
Yeah.
You can do it. We'll find our volunteer.
All right.
Preferably a silver fox with muscles, if
you guys
don't mind.
Preferably somebody I could keep.
Right? Any volunteers? All right. So that is chastity. We have a challenge.
All right. And I will.
Pink Kink's chastity challenge.
And I will try really hard to remember next time I see my urologist to ask the question.
I'm going to text this. I'm going to message the surgeon. I'm going to ask.
Okay. Sounds
right.
Good.
Bye.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed what you heard, make sure to subscribe so you don't miss a minute of our fun and educational content. New episodes drop every Friday.
If you love what we do and want to show support, there are several ways. Join us on Patreon at patreon.com/pinkkinkpodcast. You can support our affiliates or help spread the word about our kinky podcast to your friends.
Don't forget to rate and review Pink Kink on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Those 5-star reviews go a long way in boosting our podcast through the algorithm and reaching more listeners.
Sign up for our Pink Kink Institute classes. Shop at our Etsy shop, Pink Kink Boutique. Stay connected with us on social media. You'll find all the links on our link tree posted in the show notes.
Your support means the world to us. So until next time, stay pretty, stay safe,
and stay twisted.